again, and welcome to Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy. I'm your host, certified sex therapist Lori Watson, author of Wanting Sex Again, and blogger at Psychology Today and WebMD. And I have with me Dr. Adam Matthews, my co-host, who's a couples therapist, psychotherapist, and president of NCAMFT. Foreplay is dedicated to helping couples keep it hot. Each episode, we cover an aspect of sex that impacts your sex life and something that you can relate to. So if you find our discussions helpful, please give us a review on iTunes or Stitcher. We would love it if you would tell a friend about us. You can find us also on the web at foreplayrst.com. And if you have a comment or a topic that you'd like us to talk about, we'd love to hear from you. Please send them to us at info@foreplayrst.com. Thanks for listening. Now on to today's topic. Hello, Adam.
Hey, Lori. How are we doing?
We are doing so great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so excited. We have just had a huge burst of downloads.
Oh, that's right. We have. That's super exciting, right? How many have we had?
Oh, I think in the last 12 hours, we've had like 22,000 downloads.
Oh, that's great.
I know. It's fantastic. We don't know why, but thank you to the podcast gods out there who have kissed us and said, you know, listen to us, apparently. Yeah.
All our ritual sacrifices have apparently been worth it.
Right. Somebody has liked us and said something about it. We don't know who, but if you're a new listener, we would love to know where you heard about us and who's out there talking about us so we can thank them.
Yeah.
But it's fantastic.
Yeah, we're super appreciative. So thanks for listening. Thanks for jumping on board. And yeah, we'd love to hear from people about what they want to hear us talk about, topics they would like. So you can always email info@foreplayrst.com. Let us know what you want to talk about. We're also starting to accept callers, right?
Right. We're starting to accept callers and call-ins. And so if you are interested in being on the show and have a problem that you'd like us to kind of analyze and talk about, please let us know first by email. And pretty soon we'll probably set up something like a phone line so that you can ask your question, then we'll just answer it. But at this point, send it in. And we have some exciting things coming up. We're going to do a live webinar soon and on the 10 different things that men and women do wrong in the bedroom. And that's probably going to be in September. So we'll let you know more about the details. If you're a new listener, we welcome you and we hope that you participate with us. Please subscribe to us. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
And today we're going to talk about pleasure.
Pleasure. That is probably second to the word moist. Pleasure is a word that doesn't fall most from people's lips. You know?
Right. Moist. Ew. The worst word in the world, right?
Worst word ever.
But pleasure. You're right. Yeah. It is not a common word anymore.
Yeah. In fact, I was looking at something as we were researching this. So like in the 1800s, like it was used way more than it's used today. People like apparently it's an older word, right? The use of it has declined, but it's an important one, right?
It is. And it's an important concept. You know, I think that the biggest thing I see that stumbles couples is they are hell-bent on productivity. You know, getting things done, raising their family, building their financial kingdom.
Is that cultural, Lori? Is that a new thing?
Well, I think it's an American cultural issue, right? I mean, like the French, don't they take a 2-hour lunch or something and they go back to their families and
they have a long leisurely meal.
Like they celebrate being together and that's a top priority. You know, just to stop for the day and have a pleasurable meal.
Yeah, but we tend to be more concerned with making things happen, getting stuff done, checking off our to-do list.
Yeah, I mean, how many people at work actually take time for lunch?
Yeah,
you know,
most people work through lunch, right?
And how many people at home, you know, take time out of their list to say, you know, it's just important to be together, to have sex together, to hang out and just have some pleasure. There's that word, Adam.
Pleasure. Yeah. I mean, it's not a focus, right? And we prioritize a lot of other things above pleasure. But that's also, when you talk about pleasure, there's some fears associated with pleasure, don't you think? I mean, things that we're afraid to lean into pleasure, right? Because we're afraid we're going to lose control. We're afraid it's just going to go all out. And like,
we'll become lazy.
Oh, yeah. We'll become lazy.
And hedonistic.
Hedonistic, yeah.
We could stand to be more hedonistic.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, and And I think we associate it with a lot of bad things unconsciously. We think people that have leaned into pleasure have gone too far. They've lost control. They're all of a sudden substance abusers. They're
gluttonous.
They've completely lost it and gone off the deep end. So we resist the idea of moving it, of finding out what is pleasurable for us and
exactly.
how we can lean into it.
And I was talking to a couple, or I was listening to a couple, and they were saying they were going to go away for the weekend and spend most of it in bed. And it was like, wonderful, absolutely yeah. wonderful. But how many people do that? Right? Mm-hmm. Even honeymoons these days that are supposed to be sex vacations. That's the
yeah.
purpose of your honeymoon, everybody.
Yeah.
You know, kids out there, it's a sex vacation.
Yeah, we were doing some premarital with a couple that's going to Disney World, and I kept saying to them, no, don't do it. Don't do it. Go find a cabin in the woods and just stay there.
Or go to the beach and just lay on the beach after that busy wedding.
That's right. Find a cabana, a private cabana somewhere, and just just be there. You have time to ride Space Mountain later.
Or they go to Europe, or they go on these huge adventures and
places,
and tours. And I'm like, no, this is the time you're supposed to be together.
Yeah, but in
practicing sex,
you bring up honeymoon as well, because that seems to be the time that we can find pleasure. We say it's okay to have pleasure on the honeymoon, right?
Right.
That's the period of time. Usually, that's the only period of time that you can just seek pleasure in each other
and just be
in
together.
Your bodies. But,
right.
Yeah, but we're saying there's other times to do that as well, that it's okay just to go away with that being the purpose.
I mean, if you get to the end of your life and you think, okay, you know, what did I accomplish? I accomplished, you know, I earned all this money. I bought all these toys. I did all this. Like, what is, I think when we get to the end of our life, we look back and we think about moments and pockets of time where we had joy, where we were with people that we loved, where we were having exquisite moments. You know, it isn't the conquering of the world kind of thing, right? Because it's over.
Yeah.
But those other moments, that's what stands out.
Are we going to care about being productive?
Probably not as much, no.
Yeah, but I think most people would agree with that statement in theory, right? But they wouldn't shift all the way to, I'd rather have been about my pleasure. Right?
Sure.
Because there's aspects of that can feel selfish, particularly in a relationship, right? If I said, if I came to therapy with you and I said, I'm all about my pleasure, like that would feel like a selfish thing, but maybe it's not.
Well, you know, obviously everything has to be in balance, but I think about especially the women who I talk to who have the list. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all these things they have to do before, and they can never relax and have pleasure until the list is done, which it's never done.
Mm.
It's never done.
Finished. Yeah,
or the men who like have to work after work. You know, they're back on their emails. They're back on their phone. They keep their phone on. There can never be a moment of downtime just to say to turn the world off.
Mm.
You know, and so they can't turn their attention to each other. And I think sex takes that.
Yeah. I think men can move toward pleasure, but I think oftentimes they're told that they shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
That's not okay. Well, I think women maybe get the same message as well. Now that I think about it, like we probably both get the messages that it's not okay. But men, in particular, I think we can switch from being productive to looking for pleasure. But a lot of times, that doesn't seem to be okay.
Sure, and I think men can compartmentalize a little bit better than women do. So that's probably true. When they're having sex, they're in it. They're thinking about sex. Whereas I think women, when they're having sex, they're thinking about getting up sometimes and doing the next thing.
Yeah. And I do think that is frustrating it's a frustrating thing for men.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, to be able to figure out how to do that. Because I don't think they don't want it to be pleasurable. I mean, I think men absolutely want it to be pleasurable for their partners. But I think getting them to drop the to-do list or focus on it.
Coming to the moment.
Yeah, seems to mm-hmm. be a hard task. I'm not saying it's just a women's problem, but I mean, I think that's a...
Right, and
like
that's sexist if I'm saying I'm not
well,
saying
turning
that.
turning toward pleasure though, I mean, seems to be the difficult thing of getting both people to turn toward it and to explore it together mm-hmm. about what and to know what it is.
Right. And I mean, we have this American Puritan background, right? That mm-hmm. says it's all about staying away from laziness and pleasurable moments and being productive. I mean, work drives us. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, right? you think about getting married and you think, okay, we're going to have more sex than ever because we live together. We're together all the time. But what happens is their focus changes and suddenly their focus is on work.
Yeah.
It's not on each other. So they don't have as much sex because they don't invest in that anymore.
Yeah. And a lot of times pleasure is about being present as well. Like you have to be present in the moment to experience that. And oftentimes our minds are turned toward the next thing, the next day, the stressors of what's going on in the future, trying to maintain what we have, or the hurts and the frustrations of the past. And so we don't end up being fully present and engaged in the moment. It makes it hard to focus on the pleasure for ourselves or for our partners as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that sometimes we don't feel like we deserve pleasure. You know, some, especially sexual pleasure. Again, I'm going to go back to the women that I talk to. They're not thin enough. They're not pretty enough. They're not sexy enough. Their breasts are this, that, and the other thing. They're too big, too small, too floppy, too, you know, whatever. Or they have cellulite. They're somehow or another imperfect and bad in a way that they can't say, I deserve a pleasurable sexual moment. Mm. You know, they're not enough.
Yeah.
And I think men, too, they struggle, right, with performance. You know, they're not enough. Their erection isn't hard enough, big enough, whatever.
No.
And so they get anxious and they can't experience just pleasure. They're now thinking about performance.
Yeah, we almost
work in sex.
Yeah, we almost need to give ourselves permission to be able to seek pleasure specifically in our partner, right? Because we have all these things that turn that off that keep us from doing that. And so it seems like we almost need to say, it's okay for me to seek this. It's okay for things to be pleasurable in the first place for that to occur.
Yes. Well, let's come back and give some tips about, you know, some how to have sexual pleasure and some really specific things so that people can think about incorporating this into their sex life and into their lives, period.
Yeah. Awesome.
Okay. You're listening to 4Play Radio Sex Therapy with your sex therapist, Lori Watson, and couples therapist, Dr. Adam Matthews. We'll be right back.
Wanting sex again. How to rediscover desire and heal a sexless marriage by certified sex therapist, Lori Watson.
Each chapter is designed to fix one of the problems that cause low libido from early marriage through the childbearing years, even all the way through menopause. I've also had men read it and tell me that for them, it was the most hopeful thing they read about resolving sexual problems.
Look for Wanting Sex Again on Amazon.com. You can also talk to Lori Watson for therapy in person or via Skype.
I offer couples counseling and sex therapy, and I think about both aspects of the relationship, emotional intimacy and sexual technique, and that combination together helps marriages be happy.
Weekend couples intensives are also offered. Improve your sex and improve your relationship with Awakening Center for Couples and Intimacy. Find out more at awakenloveandsex.com. Awaken what's possible.
It is one of my great joys in life to be able to really help individuals and couples find strength in their relationships and really find hope again.
Licensed marriage and family therapist, Dr. Adam Matthews from Matthews Counseling.
I work with a wide variety of issues, including depression and anxiety, marital issues, issues with adolescence. I believe that therapy should be designed around you, that it should be personalized to who you are and to your unique situation.
Therapy is available in office, online, and by phone.
I want therapy to be comfortable for everyone. At our office, you'll find that we sit around a fireplace in deep, comfortable chairs, look at the problem differently, and offer practical solutions for you to take home and utilize outside of the therapy room.
Schedule today and rediscover hope.
You can find me on the web at matthewscounseling.net, Matthews with one T. You can contact us through email or phone and find a lot of resources on our website, matthewscounseling.net. So we're back and we are talking about pleasure, right? That word that just rolls off the tongue, pleasure. But it's important for us to figure that out because sex is supposed to be pleasurable. Sex is supposed to be enjoyable, and we have to give ourselves permission
to be able to seek that and to figure out what is pleasurable, and particularly in sex, and what we enjoy, right? So, Lori, I know that you have some specific things that we can do to begin to figure out what is pleasurable for us, to understand what we take pleasure in and begin to explore, right? So what are some things that we can start doing?
Well, good. Well, I'd like to introduce the idea of what is a classic sex therapist intervention. It's called sensate focus. And what that means is there's kind of a series of days that you do these exercises that are designed to help you experience more pleasure in the body and then eventually more pleasure sexually. I think that, as I said before, we get focused on performance. We get focused on an end goal of orgasm. And some of that can really twist up how good sex is. It can make it bad. You know, we get too anxious. And so either we don't climax, or we climax too fast, or, you know, there's all these problems, or it becomes dutiful sex. It's not this long, leisurely, pleasurable endeavor.
Yeah, so you're saying that intercourse, and particularly orgasm, doesn't have to be the only place we experience pleasure during sex.
Right, and sensate focus is designed to kind of have you have total body pleasure. And it starts out in this way. So it's very specific. And if you want to try this at home, please do. And please kind of follow the instructions. The day one is basically about non-genital, non-breast touching. And it's whole body touching. So you lie with your partner naked and you take turns. And this gets away from reciprocity, you know, because so many people are so anxious, is my partner responding, that they can't feel anymore. And we want people to start feeling. We want them to come into their body. We want them to experience the many different ways that their body has pleasure. So basically day one is being naked together, touching, maybe starting with the back, massage, touch everywhere, then rolling over so that your front is exposed, and touching everywhere but the specifically sexual erogenous zones. So finding other erogenous zones, you know, the earlobes, the elbows, the back of the knees. That was my husband's big find when we were young. You know, it's like, where are the erogenous zones on your partner? So many people get down to business and they miss all these wonderful moments. I think that's, you know, one of the problems. And one of the great things about kind of high school sex, or sex where you're not supposed to do it, you know, as you spend all this time, months sometimes, in foreplay and in touching, trying to avoid the specific spots that are going to turn your partner on, the whole while being incredibly turned on.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we want to replicate with sensate focus. So day one, touching everywhere but, and just trying to relax and enjoy being a receiver, and then taking turns being the giver.
Yeah. What's day two? What is day two?
So day two, you can include genitals, you can include breasts.
But still just touching, right?
Yeah, but it's still just touching, and it's taking a long time for it. So, you know, it's like a half an hour of pleasuring your partner, finding all the ways they like to be touched, also finding the ways you like to touch. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we want to please our partner so much that we forget that we can take pleasure in touching. And that's a big turn on as well. And so day two is all of that. And again, taking the leisure, not rushing to intercourse, not rushing to orgasm, but taking a long time. Yeah. And then after that, you know, you can incorporate another sensate focus day with full completion, you know, bringing each other to orgasm. But day one and day two, no orgasms, but you can include genital and breast touch on the second day.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That sounds like a fun 3 days.
It's really fun 3 days, you know, because it is frustrating on one hand, because especially if you're used to reaching orgasm with each other, but especially like with guys who have premature ejaculation, you know, they're so focused on their penis and what their penis is doing and what it ought to do, or ED, they're so focused on that they don't feel anymore. You know, or women who are struggling with orgasm or struggling to have orgasm a certain way, you know, they stop feeling and they start watching themselves in bed. You know, they're hovering over the bed saying, am I doing it right? Am I responding okay? Does my partner think I'm performing well? You know, is my partner happy with my response? And so they're not in their body. Yeah. And this is a way to get back into your body.
So you're saying that sex isn't all about the penis?
is that
what you're saying, Lori? That's so confusing.
That is what I am
sex
saying.
Sex isn't all about the penis.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Okay. That's a little disappointing. I'm not going to lie. But I'll accept it. The other thing that we talked about that you mentioned earlier that I think would be good to talk about is the different erogenous zones. I mean, that's where pleasure is located, right, in those erogenous zones,
right,
around sex. But a lot of times, like we were just joking about, men stay focused on the penis or women stay focused on one or two body parts, and we don't really explore erogenous zones, right?
Yeah, or I think men learn this is, you know, the clitoris is what she needs to have stimulated to reach an orgasm. So they go right for that. You know, and I think for most women, certainly, you know, they need lots of other touching first. So probably learning where your wife's erogenous zones are would be really helpful.
So maybe it's helpful. I think people don't know exactly what the erogenous zones are or where they are. So maybe we just list a few just to make sure people are aware of them, right?
Okay.
So for men, obviously, penis is number one.
Sure. And for women, her vulva, her clitoris.
Right.
Number one. And then her vagina.
Then her vagina after that. Right.
Yeah.
Mouth and lips.
Mouth and
obvious.
Lips.
I mean, kissing. Well, maybe I think a lot of couples have lost the art of kissing.
Yes.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And exploring that area.
And you can listen to our podcast on that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We have one on just on
we
kissing,
do.
Right?
We do.
It's important.
And women's breasts. And I think, you know, again, women do not like their direct sexual erogenous zones touched often until they're aroused.
Yeah.
So it could be a no-go unless they're aroused.
Right. For men, scrotum, perineum, like those are often unexplored as well.
Right. And the perineum is the space underneath his testicles, between that and his anus. And that's actually the front side of the prostate gland. So sometimes pressure there can be extremely pleasurable. And I think that women may not know that. Men may not know that. But sometimes using a vibrator there can be a really extremely pleasurable act for him.
We mentioned nipples.
Nipples.
Mentioned ears.
Yep.
Both nipples and ears can be pleasurable as well. Neck. We haven't talked about the neck.
Oh, I think the neck is just an underused super erogenous zone, right?
Yeah.
I mean, oftentimes men in the movies, they show men reach up and sort of circle her neck, you know, and put his hand behind her neck. But it's like that touch is so sensuous, and certainly kissing there. Often women say, I would just love it if he'd come up and kiss me on the back of my neck or on the side of my neck. The neck is a big deal for women.
Neck is a big deal.
Neck
yeah.
is
I
big
mean, I think
deal.
It's a good place
and
for men as well, particularly the back of the neck as well.
Yeah.
Is full of those turbinings as well.
Yeah. And they say actually sucking on men's what is it?
Adam's apple?
Adam's apple. There we go.
That's what you're trying to say.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know where you're going.
I was like, Adam, wait. I can't do it. Yeah.
I just call mine my me apple.
That's great.
So those are some areas, some erogenous zones to explore.
Yeah.
Make sure you're hitting all of
them. And let me say two more. The frenulum, which is on the penis, it's sort of like, when a man is erect, it's the front side of his penis. It would be the underside when he's not erect. And it's like right at that little V at the head of his penis, between that and the shaft. And that's supposed to be, I'm not a guy, but it's supposed to be a really super, sensitive spot on a man's penis. And also a G-spot for the woman, which is about 1.5 inches into her vagina, top side of her vagina. Sometimes pressure, not a whole lot of pressure, but medium pressure there, kind of stroking, can be super pleasurable.
Yeah, and we do have a whole podcast about that as well.
We do on the G-spot. So listen in.
So your last tip, Laura, that you're talking about is a technique you refer to as baseball. I had no idea
baseball.
What you had to unpack this for me to help me understand what exactly
it's not
you were talking
first,
about
second,
baseball.
Third home.
No,
it's basically three strikes, you're out, which is somehow or another, bringing your partner close to orgasm and stopping. So you want them to kind of monitor themselves and say, you know, you can't climax until we do this several times. And I just picked three times and you're out, as, you know, as the metaphor. So bringing them right up to the edge, stopping, letting them relax and cool off for just a minute or two, and bringing them back up to the edge, cool off. Third time, you let them go over the edge, have an orgasm. And what that does is it builds this magnificent platform of vasocongestion, which is kind of swelling and blood, and it gives them a very powerful orgasm. So it's a super wonderful experience because it's intense during the whole build-up time, and it often has a big bang at the end. So it's a win all the way around.
Yeah.
It's structured frustration.
Structured frustration.
And
right?
especially helpful for people who get hung up on orgasm, the woman who can't get there, and you're like, oh, okay, don't get there. You know, let's play baseball. Or edging is another way to think about it.
Awesome.
Right. Edging close to orgasm.
All right. So good luck trying all this stuff.
For more pleasure.
All right? Yeah. you don't have to use that word, but you can use that word if you want to. It's not a bad word. Getting more comfortable with it, saying it over and over again in this podcast. Pleasure.
Yeah.
Pleasure.
Yeah. Right. We endorse pleasure at 4Play Radio Sex Therapy with your sex therapist, Lori Watson, and couples therapist, Dr. Adam Matthews. Thank you for listening. Hey, help us stay on top here at 4Play. We'd love it if you would subscribe and share it with your friends. And please take one sec and rate and review us. Thanks so much.